There you are, man, coming in loud and clear.
I'm so sorry, guys, that it took a little while.
Hey, nice hat.
Oh, thanks, man. I rep it all the time.
Hey, I'm sorry that it took forever. I was getting my ankle scanned, but it's all good.
Everything good on that yeah,
good.
All yeah. Right. Yeah. Anytime you guys do something like that, that's got to be scary, man.
It was scary, but it's all good now. I was just like a little sore.
Yeah.
I was just being precautious, so I wasn't like jamming it into the ground over and over, jumping and sprinting and making sure that I wasn't making anything worse, but they said it's all good. So
nice.
Now, do you have a copay when you go in there, or, you know, how does that work?
They hooked me up. They're like, all right, come in the back door, take us and pop back out. Yeah.
You got that Rogers rate or Breggy rate.
No, it's a Patrick Price. Right. I saw y'all went to the, y'all were just at one of the NFL games.
KC in Dallas, in KC.
That's sick.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was good.
Did y'all perform? Cody, you perform?
No, we didn't, man. We got hooked up. We were on the road with Randy Rogers' band at the time, and we were coming back from, I think, Minnesota, and we had a layover in Kansas City. Just happened to be our driver had to sleep when the game was going on. So we made a couple phone calls, and we got hooked up to the game, and we got to go meet Troy Aikman and Joe Buck and all that cool stuff, man. That was a thrill for me because I grew up, dude, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan, so I got to meet, you know, they were winning Super Bowls when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
It was really cool, man. But now don't worry about being late, man. We're just sitting here BS, and I was just telling the guys that I just got off the phone with my bookkeeper and the tax man cometh. It's right before we jumped on. I got hit pretty hard.
I'm telling you, every year it's like, what?
Yeah. It's like, I didn't even know we made that much money. What? Hold on. What percentage is that of that? I don't get it.
Oh my God. I feel like it's like 75%.
It seems that way, man. It's awful. It's awful, but you know, it's we have to, or we go to jail or end up like Willie Nelson and get our golf courses taken away from us. And then our friends have to buy all of our shit back and then give it back to us. And I would rather not do that, but
yeah, I'd rather just save the heartache and just let the headache and let the CPA handle all that.
That's exactly. And I always can tell what the phone call is going to be because my bookkeeper, I get a text that says, "Hey, Cody, you got a minute to chat." Mm-hmm. If it's anything else, it's a phone call or whatever, or, you know, but it's like that. That's like, that feels like the conversation you have, you know, when your dad goes, "No, you go in your bedroom and you wait for me to get there."
Oh yeah. It's like when that's the only time I get that text is when it's like, go play a little blackjack in Vegas. And it's like, hey, you got any time to chat when you get home? We need to talk about this last trip to Vegas.
Yeah.
You played a little bit too much blackjack this time.
All right. Well, let's talk about, I'm going to make a note of that because I have a really good, similar probably story to you. So I'm going to write down 21. We'll talk about 21 later. But everybody can hear everybody. Everybody can see everybody. We've been rolling for a couple minutes, and we are a couple in with myself. I'm Cody Jinks coming out of North Texas. We got Josh Thompson, bass player, producer, right-hand man, long-time bed partner whenever we didn't have enough money to buy two hotel rooms. Am I saying too much, Josh?
Well, we haven't had that kind of introduction in these. We were talking about how many 36 episodes. So, yes, thank you for filing. But, you know, we at least ease people into that.
We did. Yeah.
We did.
Really very easy. And coming out of Alexandria, Louisiana, Bobby Keith Kilgore. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are y'all?
Oh man, you know, we're super freaking awesome today, dude. We got Seth Noseworthy in outside of Nashville turning the knobs, doing a kick-ass job as always. But dude, we have got Alex Bregman on today, and thank you for taking the time and making this happen, man. We won't take up too much of your time, but we're glad that you're here, man. Thanks.
No, thank you guys. I'm excited to be a part of this. I've been looking forward to this for a while now, and just chopping it up with y'all three. It's going to be awesome.
We have so much fun doing these. We don't get serious. Everybody can, you can go find another podcast if you want serious. This is, we talk about all kinds of fun things, and, you know, music and sports, and those seem to be the two types of people we have on the most, because we're all, the three of us are all big sports fans and music fans alike. But Alex Bregman, man, y'all can go online and do the Wikipedia search and find out all of the cool things that this guy has accomplished. What sticks out is, I'll go ahead and tell you, 2017 World Series champion. But there's a slew and a plethora and a multitude of other things that this guy has done. He knows what he's done. I'm not going to bore him with all that kind of stuff. We'll talk some music, talk some baseball. But the first time I talked with you, let's talk a little bit about this. Feed Hugh. And that's the first time that I think that you and I sat down. Tell us a little bit about that, what that is. And you were on air for, was it 24 hours straight?
Yeah, we had a 24-hour stream that we ended up raising, I think, at the end of the Feed Hugh project, I think a little over $2 million. And it was right the start of the pandemic. Just so many people losing jobs, so many people needing food. We wanted to make sure that everyone who needed a meal got a meal, especially kids. So we partnered with the food bank, and we ended up doing a little over 2 million, which it ended up raising, like, I think probably 6 million meals for people here in the Houston area. And I mean, you were a big help in that. I mean, I can't thank you enough, and your team enough, for everything that y'all did to help make that happen. But yeah, it was a fun time. I think everyone definitely enjoyed seeing your snakes on the stream. That was a hit. I still get messages about that all the time. No, it was fun. We chopped it up with some musicians, some athletes, some entertainers from the Texas area that wanted to make a difference that day. And I mean, it was a super success, and hopefully we can continue to make an impact in the community here in Houston, all over Texas, and all over the country.
Well, hey man, you know, I wanted to start with that, because so oftentimes it's like, you know, you're a baseball player, you know, we're musicians, but using those platforms to do bigger things is something that, you know, anytime something like that's going on, you know, I need to be on your first call list. We're big into that kind of stuff, and it's important, you know, to be a part of the community, to do things like that. So, you know, you've got that, you've got, BregmanCares.com, and I know that you do a lot of good work, and people can check that out, you know, starting off with that. But let's get into, what do you do during the off season? I mean, what are you doing now? Do you get up and work out every day? Do you have cheat days? You know, do you just relax? What do you do?
So during the off season, I kind of have a routine for each day of the week, kind of. So beginning of off season, like first 2 weeks right after the season, we normally play into November. I mean, it is what it is. So we don't give much time to rest. But
facts are facts.
I'm a Rangers fan. What's that like? What is that?
Hey, they're on the way up. They're going to be damn good.
Spent a bunch of money.
Yeah, they did. So the beginning of the offseason, first 2 weeks, like we'll go on vacation. This year we ended up going to the Breeders' Cup in California at Del Mar. It was an awesome event. I don't know if you guys ever been to a horse, like a big time horse racing event, but it is so much fun. You guys definitely need to check it out if you haven't. It was a blast. I mean, every race on the docket for two straight days is like a million and a half purse. I mean, it's the best horses in the world best jockeys in the world, not only from the United States, but coming in from anywhere overseas, Japan, to come race. It was pretty sweet. We had a blast, had a few of my teammates and ex-teammates come out there and kind of celebrate the event. And then we popped over to Las Vegas for a little bit during the NFR. Big rodeo fan. Our buddy Shane Hanchy finished second or third. I think the last run was a little tough, but he's one of our good buddies, and actually our salsa company and soon to be barbecue company, Breggy Bomb, sponsor Shane. And so we were all down there rooting him on. We had a big group of guys, went to watch the Raiders play, little country music concerts and stuff like that. We freaking missed when you were performing. We should have been out there. I was pissed.
I was gonna say, we did three shows, man. Like, you had three to choose from.
I know, I messed it up. We just didn't have it line up. We ended up going to the UFC event that was there. I mean, that was a crazy card with Amanda Nunes getting submitted. It was crazy. Big UFC fan, and then now during the off season, we're back here. Every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm in the gym training. Wednesday, Saturday are like our recovery days where I'm working on like soft tissue health. That's a change I made this year to try and stay healthier throughout the season, because I've had some nagging injuries the last 2 years. But yeah, Monday, it's a 10 to 2. I'm working out, doing baseball work for like the last hour of the day. Same thing Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And kind of carry that throughout the whole off season. And as soon as we get closer to spring training, it starts to mold more towards just more baseball specific work and less high intensive gym and that kind of stuff. So we have a good crew here in town that we train with, and a good group of PTs and strength coaches that we've been working with, fortunate enough to have here in Houston. So we got a good schedule, but we definitely like to go check out good places to eat at night that we haven't tried yet, or go to the Rockets games or Texans games or whatever while we're during the off season. But it's a good routine, good schedule, and a lot of fun. And that was a long way of saying that, yeah, it's just a focused off season training.
So how many of you guys are in the, like, make homes in the Houston area? And do you, if those guys, are you working with them in the off season as well? Or do you have kind of like your own posse per se?
So at our gym, it's just Altuve and I. It's a gym closer to where we live, and the gym's kind of out in Katy, Texas, about 20 from our house. But overall, people in Houston are myself, Altuve, McCullers, Correa. We got a good little group, but a lot of the guys are back home, whether it's in Florida or the Dominican or Venezuela or wherever.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. But I mean,
well, you just named some studs, man. Correa, Altuve, you know, this is what it is.
Yeah, we're in the gym.
Yeah, but that's also like just who you see every day. Like, that's your, isn't that wild that that's just your cubicle mate? You know, yeah. Like, it's, but yours just happens to be Jose Altuve.
And I tell you what, Altuve is 5'6", right? We are working out right now at a gym where there are probably 20 ex-NFL players or current NFL players right now. There's basketball players in there. There's track athletes. There's any kind. I swear to God, Altuve is the best athlete in the gym, hands down, no question about it. Like, you tell, if everyone had to compete in various different things, this guy is the best athlete I've ever been around in my life. It's crazy. He'll jump out the gym. I bet you he could probably dunk a basketball.
Wow.
He's a stud.
I mean, like, I've seen him listed at 5'7", and I'm 5'7".
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I've taken batting practice in a major league park.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty deep.
I can barely get the ball out of the infield. And this guy,
It's like, he's hitting balls out the dead center field.
He's hitting balls going 430.
Yeah. And then Cody's seeing a chiropractor 24 hours later as well.
Yep.
Oh yeah. No, he's an unbelievable athlete. I saw you were playing in a charity softball game.
I blew my knee out. Yeah, it was awesome. We were
at your knee out?
I did. Yeah. Same. My left knee sliding into second. And
he was sliding in a charity softball game, Alex.
No, I like it. He's going hard. He's trying to win. He's a winner.
Hey, brother, I don't know how not to go hard. I get on stage. I go hard. I'm playing charity softball games. Man, I'm out there to win. And be 40 years old and blow my knee out. And I just got medical. ACL, yeah. Second one on my left knee. I did the first time in high school playing ball and then at 40 playing softball. But
he said he's done with all my games that I asked him to come do.
It didn't look cool. It didn't. It's like some people blow their knee out and it's like, wow, that was a cool, good looking play, you know, or whatever. But I look dumb.
But, hey, you said he's listed at 5'7". I'm listed at 6 foot, and I get so much shit for that. Oh, my God. People are like, it says 6 foot on the program, but there's no way he's over 5'9".
Yeah. I mean, but everybody knows that teams do that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I don't know why y'all do it. It's like, you think y'all are getting it in on the other team, like the other guys are going, oh, he's a big son of a bitch. You know, like, no, he ain't, you know, it's funny.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's hilarious. I just get so much shit for it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were saying, in the off season, you guys get to go to, you know, Rocket games or, you know, Texan games or whatever. Growing up, you're from Albuquerque originally, right?
Yeah.
So being from Albuquerque, what were your teams?
Well, I don't know if you know this answer, but I think it's because you're a Cowboy fan. Everyone around me loved the Cowboys. So everyone from New Mexico loves the Cowboys. But I was a big, at the time, Washington Redskins fan because my family grew up from back in D.C. But, yeah, I kind of stick with the football team now. Hopefully we get a cool name. I think they're going to announce it here in the next week or so. Hopefully that brings us some luck because it's been a rough 27 years watching some pretty rough football, get the Cowboys beaten up on us and the Eagles and Giants. But yeah, I've been a Washington fan since I was born, just with my family ties to Bethesda, Maryland, and going to my dad and grandfather and great grandfather going to those games. But as far as baseball, I grew up a fan of players. Really. I grew up loving Dustin Pedroia, loving Jeter. My mom was a big Yankee fan because she's from New York growing up. So we always had the Yankees and Red Sox games on when we were growing up, when the rivalry was crazy back in the day. And like,
so like, are you a Baltimore fan at all? Like, do you keep up with them or not with the Maryland ties? Or?
A little bit. My dad likes the Orioles a lot and the Nationals because he's from back there. So I kind of like Camden Yards is one of the best places to play in the game. I love going there, and the ball just jumps out of the ballpark there. It's fun. It's a fun place to hit. But yeah, I grew up liking more players than teams, but besides football, I've always been a Washington fan.
Yeah. They thought RG3 was going to be the answer to that.
Oh my God. So did I. I saw, you know what? Yeah. I saw last night during the national championship game, I saw, they were doing like a pregame show and I saw RG3 and Andrew Luck on the sideline. That was a blast from the past, man. Those two I thought were the next like biggest thing.
Man, RG3's doing great at the commentary thing, man.
Like, he's awesome.
He sounds great, dude. He was on the other day and I was telling my wife, I was like, that guy's a natural, man. Yeah. But, you know, speaking of RG3, let's just go Baylor and the Baylor tie that we have. And that's Coach Rod. Steve Rodriguez, man. Yeah. He's been on the show with us before and you guys got to play in 2017, got the gold medal, right? Am I right, Keith?
2015.
Yeah. 2015.
2014. Yeah. he is the man. His son is awesome as well. He was always around. He's a great, great coach, and I love playing with him. Just a great baseball guy, great human being. I really enjoyed my time there, and yeah, we won a gold medal. It's pretty badass. That's probably been one of my favorite things I've been able to do throughout my career is play with Team USA a few times. And for a while there, never lost with Team USA until we ran into a pretty tough Cuba team my last year in college when we were playing them. We play Cuba right in the United States the first year in 2013. And like my teammate now, like Yuli Gurriel, his brother was on the team. Jose Abreu, I think, was on the team. And we were loaded with guys that are playing in the MLB now. We play them here, and we win 5 straight games against them. The next year, we go to Cuba. We get off the plane, and there's a lady that's greeting our team at the airport. And she goes, "Hey, it's a different Cuba team this time around." And we're like, what do you mean? We're coming back out the airport on the way out 0-5. And she's like, "You see what I mean? We had our big boys playing this
time." Wow.
They whooped our ass. They got some great baseball in Cuba. And honestly, we have an amazing group of guys that are from Cuba on our team now. We got Yuli, who I think is probably one of the best Cuban baseball players ever. Yordan Alvarez, who's a stud, who's up and coming. Aledmys Diaz, so many more throughout our organization that are coming up and ready to go. So we've been lucky to have some really good players, and I've been lucky to have some great teammates from Cuba.
So you do things like the Team USA. You know, are those types of teams that you, just because of the kind of situation that you feel you grow really strong bonds with, and you still have communication with those guys even from back then?
100%. So like we're playing against the A's throughout the season, and Matt Chapman's their third baseman. He's a stud. We were roommates on Team USA together. So like we just played Kyle Schwarber in the ALCS. He was really close as well. Like Bradley Zimmer for the Indians, all four of us hung out basically every day with Team USA. Carlos Rodon, a pitcher for the White Sox, was on the team with us. I've had some really good teammates and close friends that I've played with there. Joey Gallo is another one who was with your Rangers for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's been some amazing teammates that I've had there. And I've seen probably, I want to say probably 75% of the guys that I've played with throughout the Team USA baseball organization that starts probably, I think, now like 15 and under, and that goes all the way up through college and into the World Baseball Classic and all that. I want to say about 75% of the guys that I grew up playing with at 15 on that team have made it to the big leagues.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is incredible. Now that's kind of, is that normal, or is that kind of, was that like a special class? I mean, I'm sure you probably are more versed in that kind of thing.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I could get you a better answer on that, but I would say that it's pretty normal with that organization just because they're really good with what they do. I mean, the year before I was there, Chris Bryant was there, and a bunch of studs were on the Team USA team before us, Bryce Harper. So many dudes have gone through that organization and really just catapulted their game to the next level and made a huge impact at the major league level.
So you're a lifer. You've been a lifer since you were a toddler, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I grew up with a baseball bat in my crib when I was growing up. My mom was in the cul-de-sac every day with me from like 2 years old on till I hit a few comebackers that got her in the stomach. I'm not pitching to you anymore. You go play with your dad. But, yeah, my parents always love to have me outdoors, and whether it's shooting hoops or doing whatever. But my mom, got to give her a lot of credit, and she never let me win at anything growing up. She was like, "You're gonna be good enough to beat me, and then once you beat me, you got me."
Yeah.
My dad was more of like, "Hey, anything you want to do in life, you can do it. I believe." So it was like a good, my mom's like,
I'm just trying to beat my mom, man.
Yeah. My mom's like kicking my ass. My dad's like, you got it. Go ahead. Yeah.
I love that though. I remember, you know, my mom and I played catch more than my dad and I did, mm-hmm. you know, and it was just cause mom played softball.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, so,
that's just the best thing to do as your kid. Hey, let's go in the backyard and let's play catch.
We play catch every day at my house. It's either with a football or baseball. And I know Josh and his son are basically about the same. It's usually a basketball.
Pretty close.
You know, Nolan loves basketball.
Well, we had a storm blow the goal over. So the basketball's out of commission.
Mm, that's tough.
Is it? Y'all get to play catch. I get to play with dolls. See?
I still play with dolls.
Just throw the dolls around.
Man, I don't know. I didn't have a boy.
So.
I'm going to send you some golf clubs because there's so many women's golf scholarships nowadays. Oh.
That's what I heard, that if your kid's in high school, like, get on the golf team because they have so many scholarships that don't go taken, right?
They have like hundreds not go taken throughout the course of the year. Yeah, it's an
incredible
deal.
I would love to. My son just came back from he spent the weekend down. My daughter and my son. So I've played my fair share of dolls, Keith. I have.
Oh, yeah,
you
have. Yeah.
But my son and my daughter were down at my mom and dad's house this week. And my son, he comes home. We met him at the McDonald's in between our houses. And he goes, well, he's nine. And he goes, well, Dad, got a new set of golf clubs. I was like, what? Like, my dad sent him, my dad had an extra set of old clubs, you know, like a complete set, like a nice set. Like, and we opened up the trunk to get their bags out and everything. He's like, well, here's a whole set, like full man size. You know, he was out there a while ago and I checked on him. And my wife was out running errands and taking the dog to the vet. My son's out there with a driver, like a full size driver in the backyard, like whacking the shit out of golf balls. He's like, Dad, are you done yet? I want to play golf. I was like, no, I'm not done working yet today, buddy. All right, when you're done working, we need to play golf. Okay. But I'm done, man. We'll go hit some balls, bro.
Oh, my parents probably had PTSD from golf clubs when I was a kid because we had a backyard with like some grass in it. And I got my first set of golf clubs. And of course I grabbed the driver as well and take it out and whack one. And it goes over the fence across the street and it goes through the neighbor's window. And I run inside. I'm like 6 years old. And I'm like, just like sitting there, like, my mom's like, what the hell did you do? And I'm like, I think I hit the golf ball into somebody's window. She's like, all right, well, you need to get your ass up and go apologize right now and tell them right now. And I was like, okay. I had to run over there, tell them I'm sorry. They're like, oh, it's all right, whatever. But that was the most scared I've ever been as a kid. Then I don't know if I picked up a golf club until I was about 18 after that.
We just got a thumbs up from Seth, our engineer, on that. Seth loves golf, so he loved that story.
During the pandemic, when we couldn't work, he took a job at Top Golf just so he could play every day for free.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Right?
Most places are like, yeah, you work here, you get like 20% off the gift shop. Top Golf? Hey. Bring whoever you want. Let's go. Free golf.
Oh, and yeah. We used it. Don't you worry. We were in Nashville. Man. Oh, it's, hey, you got two bays?
Yeah, that Nashville golf, Top Golf knows us pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, how often are y'all in Nashville then? Because I feel like y'all be there all the time, right?
We're really not. We do more business out of Nashville than we are actually there. I mean, we've spent a great, I'd say in terms of being a hub where everybody kind of meets up, I'd say Nashville's probably the place. We're there quite a bit, probably more than any other city, just business stuff. You know, if you're in the music business, especially the country music business, everything ties back to Nashville in some way, shape or form. So, you know, I'll probably be out there, you know, 2-3 weeks out of the year having meetings or, you know, doing whatever, but we're not there a whole heck of a lot. Back a long time ago, whenever, you know, you didn't have, you know, you couldn't send song files from a studio here to Nashville to get them mixed or mastered. You had to actually send tapes, and there's risks in that, you know, now everything's digital for the most part. So we can literally record something in El Paso where we normally record, and the next day have it in Nashville being mixed and mastered and all that kind of stuff. So, but we do a lot of secondary recording in Nashville. We'll do the bulk of it out, you know, out in El Paso, Tornillo at the Sonic Ranch where we record. And, usually the backup singers come out of Nashville. So we'll send them in for, you know, that kind of stuff. But we love the town. It's a great town. A lot of people, you know, think that we, you know, hate Nashville because we're independent artists and stuff like that. But there's wonderful people there. There's also not wonderful people there, but that goes for any place. But, yeah, you know, to answer your question, you know, we wouldn't spend as much time there as you think, but we do spend some.
Yeah. I was just wondering, because I know a few of my buddies, like DJ Silver lives out there. I know he works with Al Dean all the time. Mm-hmm. They're all out in Nashville. And every time I hear, like, you think country music, you think like kind of Nashville. As like growing up, I always thought like, oh, everyone goes to Nashville to make it big. Like that's where they're going. And that's kind of like the perception, right?
That's how it was for a lot of years. And, you know, you're not wrong in saying that, you know, whenever, you know, I got a few years on you, but, you know, that's really, how it was back in the day. People went to, you know, it was just a migration to Nashville. A lot of people don't know this, but you know, Dallas could have been Nashville. Dallas was very nearly Nashville, but Nashville ended up being Nashville. They were pretty close. It was a lot of studios back at the time, you know, in those days, like, you know, I'm showing my age here, but Lefty Frizzell was recording all his stuff in Texas, and, you know, a lot of people were as well, you know, Waylon and, you know, and Willie and stuff like that, as well as Nashville. But, well, that's a whole nother thing, but, you know.
What's your biggest stadium you played in front of? You played at AT&T yet?
No. The biggest one that we've played, the biggest show we played, we opened up for Jason Aldean in, was it Coleman, Alabama?
Yep. Yeah. Rock the South or
Rock
Gulf
the South
Coast Jam or whatever it was.
And he headlined that, and that was for 35,000. But the biggest one we've got coming up, we're playing the Ohio State Stadium with Luke Combs.
The Horseshoe.
The Horseshoe.
Hey, he's huge right now. I love his stuff.
Luke we're playing with him in July, June or July
something
there. And that'll be the biggest one by far, I'm sure. You know, usually the bigger stuff that we play is usually the festival stuff, you know, 10 to 25,000, something like that, you know, but that's going to be a big one with Luke. So we're looking forward to that.
Hey, if you're a fan of Luke, we'll take him to some salsa.
Hell yeah. Bring him some.
Well, that's tell a good
him, tell, that, tell him that, that salsa never broke his heart.
that's a good segue, because I wanted to get into the salsa as well. And thank you again. I sent you a text. Thank you for sending those salsas. And my wife, who is not a hot salsa fan, we eat a lot of salsa here, here at the Jinx household, but that's the first hot salsa that she likes. And it's not because it's not hot. It's just, she said she thinks the flavor of it is so good that the hot doesn't bother her. We're talking about the Breggy Bomb salsa. I got the package last week. We have one bottle left, one jar left, because we used a whole one. My wife makes a really good tortilla soup, and she put one of those in the tortilla soup. And then we had some company over, ate another one. They liked it. We sent them home with one. Now we have one left.
Well, we'll send you some more.
So in a week, we've gone through three of the four jars, dude. And I'm not like blowing smoke up your ass, because we have a buddy that, and I'm not going to name any names here, that kind of tried to, he's in the MLB as well. He came out with his own salsa a few years ago, and it was really good one night when I was drunk, but then the rest of the time it wasn't as good as your salsas. Tell us how Breggy Bomb got started.
Yeah, it got started in actually spring training in 2018. This restaurant Sadie's in New Mexico, which if you guys are ever in Albuquerque doing a show, you guys need to stop in at Sadie's. It's like authentic New Mexican food. It's amazing. But they're known for across the country, really. I think they're in 10,000 grocery stores across the country. Their salsa, and it's their hot salsa is probably their number one, and then they're not as hot, the same kind of flavor scale that we have. We added a little kick to ours, a little tequila and lime, and they're not as hot, and some other ingredients in the hotter one. But kind of started there in spring training. They came to us, they're like, hey, here's a base salsa, let's pick a bunch of different ingredients and see which one sticks and you guys like the best. So we had a full-fledged like dining room table full of different ingredients to add to it. And we were just mixing and matching for a few hours. And we finally came up with the one that we came up with. And it was awesome. We all love it. And we've gotten really good reviews on it.
You get like the spoon and like putting the cilantro in yourself and like, you know,
everything, bro.
Oh,
everything.
I love it.
Like we're driving to the liquor store to grab some tequila to just get a little flavoring in there and stuff, see what it tastes like, see if it goes well with certain different things. But it was like a 2-day event, 2 hours each day, checking some stuff out, make sure we got a good product. Now that you like the salsa, we got some other stuff in the works, and it's coming April 1st for barbecue season. We got our original barbecue sauce. We got our swamp sauce, tying back to my roots in Louisiana where I played college baseball at LSU. We got some rubs. We got a brisket rub. We got a fish seasoning and chicken seasoning, and we got a steak seasoning that are coming out. So if you like barbecue, which I'm assuming you do from Texas,
okay, Alex.
Shit's badass.
Hell yeah.
All right. You're saying barbecue rubs. Now you're really starting to talk my game, because yeah. I just got me a 250-gallon pit smoker for Christmas. So, all right. I'm going to have to get some of this, because I didn't get the salsa.
I'm actually mad about right now.
So you send me the rub.
I'm pissed that we didn't have y'all at our tailgate at NRG on the 4th.
I was going to bring that up. I was gonna bring that up. I had some friends that stopped by, and that y'all had all like free food, free t-shirts, like everything, and y'all had the sauce. I mean, the rub there and everything, right?
Everything. We debuted like all of our new barbecue stuff. We had like the pit rolling smoke 100 feet in the air. It was a blast, man. We had a bunch of people. I think, like I told my buddy, and I'm always like, I don't know if we're gonna have anybody show up, like. Maybe we'll have 50 people here at the tailgate. It'll be fun, but it'll be mostly us. Bro, like, it started at 4, and by 4:30, we had, like, ran out of t-shirts. Like, we ran out of all of our, like, raffle tickets. We started with, like, 2,000 of them. So I think we ran through about 2,500 people at this tailgate. And thank God we brought enough booze because we ran out of food pretty quick.
Yeah, they, I saw that, I think it was like an SUV opened up, and it was just stacked of chips.
Oh yeah. we were handing out the salsa, and I had a few kids help me out while they were back from college. They're like, hey, we're bored. We need something to do. I was like, all right, well, we got a tailgate coming out. Y'all can help us set up for it. Can y'all go get some chips? We got about 500 to 1,000 people coming. We actually ended up going through all those chips, by the way. Jeez. He filled a full Suburban full of chips. He went to 4 different HEBs and cleared out every chip that they had from around
Dude, I'm telling you, they opened that. It was on Instagram. And they opened the back of the hatch up, you know, and it was just full. And they were just putting it into boxes.
Blowing out, bro.
So what tailgate was this at? You were saying
LSU,
tailgate.
LSU, Kansas State.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
We were hyping it up. LSU, we're going to win, we're going to win, we're going to win. And Kansas State whooped our ass. It was bad.
Yeah, I lost $100 on that.
Oh god, we didn't have a quarterback plan. So nope.
He was a receiver, right? Receiver.
Yeah, but yeah. Shit. He did all right for never not taking any snaps since high school.
No, he did good.
Yeah.
Well, so stepping into the salsa game, did you know there could be so many opinions on salsa?
I didn't at all, because where I'm from, that's Sadie's over everything. That's it. That's all that anybody eats. So New Mexico, and since we have that little Sadie's thing on our salsa, this shit flies in New Mexico. People love Sadie's. It's like Tony Saturades in Louisiana. The seasoning.
Yeah,
it's
like, yeah.
That's the only thing that people get. It's the end all be all. But here in Texas, I didn't realize so many people like verde salsa. So we're about to launch a little verde and a green taco sauce.
Okay, good.
So, I don't know if y'all like the green sauce.
Absolutely. Yeah, y'all need a verde. But here's the deal too. This is just for the what it's worth department. What I like so much about the salsa is it's really heavy on the lime.
Yeah.
Man, you need like a lime verde, dude.
Lime verde.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like
it even
that.
Sounds.
I don't think anybody has that.
It even sounds cool.
Mm-hmm. Verde lime. Salsa verde lime.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, man, you can have that little nugget. I'm not even going to charge you.
No, it's all good. We'll put the Cody bomb. Cody bomb salsa.
Yeah.
Little verde with lime.
Cody bombs barely make it to shortstop, brother.
Hey, but he's going in feet first with both ACLs.
Yeah. That's right. I'm going straight hard, man.
Goodness.
That's awesome.
We're definitely gonna do that. We're gonna do that.
That's cool. No, I'm looking forward to trying anything you get. If whatever you guys are putting out on the barbecue end
I'm serious.
Yeah, I had this dream the other night, right? I was going to tell Keith. I said, Tyler and I are like, hey, we need to do some promo for our new barbecue sauce. We need to go out to a ranch. We need to cut it up, have a good time, drink some beer, grill out. We got to get Cody on the promo. I'm thinking cloud of smoke and fire, and Cody's behind the promo, just behind the fire, just playing the guitar. And then all of a sudden the barbecue sauce is fucking flying across the screen onto some good barbecue. We're all cutting it up, having a good time. I don't know. I'm just thinking of ideas. You never know.
There's only one problem with that, man.
What's that?
I don't know how to play the guitar. I can strum one pretty good.
There you go. That works. I grew up trying to play the guitar. I got no chance.
My strong suit is my songwriting. I can't. I'm proficient enough to. My guitar playing goes to about on a 1 to 10, about a 4. I'd give myself maybe a 5 on a good day, but I walk into the studio and. Everybody, and when you play music, you know, there's different terminologies, different vernacular, just like there's jargon in your world that if you guys were out on the field, we probably might not know what you're saying if y'all are saying something. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do is in numbers. So you can, you know, you can say, well, this song's a half step down in C. And then somebody will go, well, you need to kick in on the 4 minor or whatever. And everybody in the room knows what that is except for me. And I'm the guy that wrote the song. I'm like, they're like, dude, what key are you in? And I'm like, I don't know, dude. I'm a half step down. My capo is on the 3rd fret and I'm playing in D. Y'all figure it out. You know?
Oh my God.
Then we have to get our abacus out and have to, you know, move everything over and, you know, figure out what that actually means.
So and how long have y'all all known each other and been working together?
I just hit my 7th year. I've been here since 2015. Cody and Josh, they've been together almost 20 years, right?
Not that long. 15? August was 14, so we're 14 and a half.
We're on our 15 with that. And I think the newest guy in the band's, well, the newest guy's Jake. Jake's been with us for just not even a year
August.
Yet. but that was, he was in addition, a second guitar player. But the rest of the guys, the newest guy was Drew, and he's been with us 5 years.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so cool, man. I kind of think about like our crew that we have here in Houston, kind of like a band as well. Like I've been
that's
with
a
my
lineup.
Hitting coach. Oh yeah.
I've
been with my hitting coach since I was 13 years old in New Mexico, and he's still working with me every day to this day. And Tyler, who you guys know of, we grew up playing Little League baseball together, and now he manages everything that I do. And you add new team members along the way of different, with their different skill sets and stuff like that. And I mean, shit, we just hired a physical therapist from New Mexico that was my coach since I was like 13 years old. So it's been pretty cool to be able to, surround myself, with good dudes, just like how y'all surround yourself with each other. Just like from the ground up, man, it's been really cool.
I've always thought baseball players and people that play live music for a living lead very similar lives.
Baseball players, professional wrestlers and musicians. And I'm not joking.
Yep.
The road time,
mm-hmm.
You know, just for those three groups and just you're constantly on. You know, all the time. It never stops.
Mm-hmm. And it's a lot different too, because it's a long. I'm sure y'all go on tour for a long ass time throughout the year, right? How long do y'all go on tour for?
Not anymore. We used to. We if we go out 2 weeks now, that's a pretty good run. But we used to spend 5-6 weeks out.
That's a long time in a row away. Yeah, we're like 100. We're like 81 days out of 162 on the road every year. So it's very similar to that like touring lifestyle.
But a work day is a work day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Into the stadium at what, 2, and then leaving at midnight maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say getting to the field around noonish, leaving at about midnight. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, same thing.
12-hour day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, we're sound check. I mean, we're loading in at noon and walking out of the venue at midnight, you know.
And then it takes you a while to come down from the show.
Oh, so yeah.
Yep. So yeah, I don't go to bed till 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah, that's like during the season, I'm in bed probably like 2, but I can't really shut off the brain like thinking about that game or the next game the next day until about like 3. And then I wake up at probably 11. I get an hour with my wife, and then I'm to the field. So like, you gotta cherish the off season time when you get a few more hours with her. She probably wants me to go back to the season already. She's probably sick of me and ready for me to get back on the road. But.
All right, I had this written down as a side note. We're gonna this is just funny because this happened to me the other day. You just mentioned your wife, and my daughter goes, Dad, I was just looking you up on Google, and one of the things that pops up whenever it says Cody Jinks is Cody Jinks' wife. Mm-hmm. Well, in prep for this show today, obviously I'm looking up, you know, and it's your wife comes mm-hmm. up too. It's, you know, Alex's wife. It's like, does his wife think that's as weird as my wife does? Because why are people fascinated with that?
Oh my God.
Does it freak her out?
It's the same exact thing. It's the same. She's like, why the hell is this even on the top 3 search things with you?
Yep.
You know what I mean? She's like, what is this?
Yeah.
She's getting more used to it now because she'll go to the ballpark and people will come up to her and be like, hey, can I get a photo? And she's like, what the hell? I'm not used to this.
Yeah.
She's like, you sure with me? You sure? She's like, all right, whatever you want. They're like, yeah, come on, let's do it. Let's take it. So she's getting more used to it, and she's getting like everywhere we go around town, a lot of people are coming up to her and like, hey, can we get a photo? And I'll hop in to get in the photo, and they're like, no, with your wife. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, oh, shit, my bad. But no, she's getting more used to it. She's like, I don't know why I'm like, what the hell? How do they even know this about me? I don't even know how they know this.
Yeah.
I said, babe, you work at Google. You know how Google finds out about everything.
Yeah. And then like you start, you know, Alex Bregman, what stats, Alex wife, you know, like third one down, fourth one down, you know, it's like, yeah, man, my kids saw that, you know, and they're like, Dad, have you ever looked yourself up? And he says, there's a whole bunch of pictures. And, you know, it's like, it's not even mom. You know, it's like Cody Jinks' wife is like, it's not even mom. I was like, yeah, most of those pictures are with like just fans.
Yep.
You know, there was like one or two of them that are actually of my wife. And anyway, it's funny. I just wanted to.
What does your wife think?
My wife has developed a skill that is really impressive. And she learned this from, all right, Jay Novacek was a tight end for the Dallas Cowboys during the really good years in the 90s. We were at a Dallas Cowboy game a few years ago and got to meet Jay Novacek. And even I was like, dude, Jay, can I have a picture with you, man? And, you know, cause like, oh, you're awesome. You know? And Jay's wife was like, yeah, give me your camera. I'll take it. And she was very lovely and very, and she just bam. And it keeps from the fumbling. It keeps from them. It's like, oh man, I forgot how to work my phone. Oh, you know, da, 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 da. So like, now, if my wife and I are out, you know, like, oh, can we get a picture with y'all? And Rebecca go, no, let me take a picture. Y'all give me your phone. And then she's got the camera pulled up, bam, done.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then she's never in the picture.
Right. Because she, I mean, like, if somebody insists, you know, like, no, I want a picture with you or you and Cody, you know, she'll do it, you know. But otherwise, she's like, no, just let me take the picture. Just bam, we're done. We're out, you know.
So did you happen to meet Mr. Novacek in his suite?
No, he was coming out of it. He was coming out of his suite. We were like sitting right by his suite, but we weren't in the suite. That would have been a whole lot cooler. Jay, if you're listening, buddy, come on.
He's close. He's close friends with one of my best friends in the world. They own J&W Services in Midland, Texas, an oil company. So
yeah,
I've heard a lot of good things about him.
He was super nice. And it was coming after that loss to Green Bay a few years ago that knocked us out of the playoffs. And I thought he was going to be in a bad mood. And he was still nice enough to stop and be like, yeah, man, no problem.
Was that the Dez Bryant catch?
Different. Nope. Different game.
But, it might have been Green Bay
came Green back. Bay loss.
That was a different Green Bay. Yeah, different Green Bay loss. Yeah. But, oh man. But hey, we've taken up a lot of your time. You've been very gracious and very kind, and we thank you very much. But we have one more segment. It'll take just a couple minutes, and it's really where we ask the tough questions. I know that that I told we were going to take it easy on you today, but Bobby Keith and Josh run this segment. It's called How or Why Do I Know This?
Mm-hmm. All right. And I didn't realize, dang, we have already gone like an hour because, man, there's a couple of things I want to get to. But yep. I'll actually use this time to do this. Okay. Well, I haven't asked this question before, but you are the perfect one. Tell me the funniest national anthem you've ever seen or heard.
Oh, my God. I heard what was the one, the NBA game a few years ago? It was unbelievable. And it was like everyone was just like looking around. I think it was the All-Star game, NBA All-Star game.
Okay, but what about you been a part of, though? Have you guys been
actually at Ranger Stadium this last year? We were sitting out there and the it starts and we're like, oh my God. And it keeps going. And we're like, no way. And after the game on the flight home, one of our guys on the team are texting the Rangers clubhouse manager, and he's like, hey, bro, please get us that footage from the national anthem. Like, we need to, like, some of the guys were inside during the anthem. They need to hear this. Like, it was that memorable. And the guy's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do it. We're like, all right, damn. But it was insane.
I bet you hear some pretty funny ones quite often, though.
All the time.
It's great. It's great. Awesome. It's like there's also some really good ones.
Yeah, I bet there's some, but I bet the funny ones outweigh those good ones. Okay, like I said, I could have gone on with that one, but that's all right. Okay, and this next question is literally probably just for me and maybe one other person in the whole world who might care about this. But because you grew up in Albuquerque, I'm a huge Breaking Bad fan.
Oh,
yeah. And I assumed that that was like really big, like in your high school days. Was that a show that you were aware of, like the popularity, like when you were in high school living there in Albuquerque? Or was that kind of, did you even know what was going on there?
Yes, it was big. I think for me personally, I felt like it was bigger for everyone that was not in Albuquerque. Cause like if you grew up in Albuquerque, that shit happens all the time.
Yeah.
But, my dad was asked to actually be he's an attorney in New Mexico, and he was asked to be on the show as one of the attorneys, but he couldn't do it. And he was real sad about it. But
well, see, because when they do have those things, there are those opportunities to have extras in a running series. So, like I said, I didn't know if that was, like I said, I love that show. And so you being there during the height of that, I didn't know if that was something you came across or knew.
I wanted to be an extra, but my dad tried out for it, never ended up getting on it.
Nice, nice. Okay, and lastly, do you believe in ghosts, Alex Bregman?
Do y'all?
We don't. We're just conscientious objectors. We just let him go on that question.
Well, I mean, some people just say have a quick answer, and some people will go off on a 5-minute thing about, you know.
No, I don't believe in them. But I'm gonna call. I'm gonna text all three of y'all tonight, pissed off if there's like a ghost outside my doors.
All right, very cool. All right, go ahead, Keith.
All right, man. Favorite video game, past or present?
I've always liked all the Madden games, and it was sad that he just passed away. But I mean, he had an unbelievable life. But those games have always been my favorite.
Yep, same, man. That was a good one. Favorite 2 a.m. meal?
Whataburger.
There you go. That's the first correct answer on this podcast for that question. Thank you.
Three and a half seasons.
The no to the ghost wasn't a good answer. I just said
correct answer.
Oh, okay.
The Whataburger is the only answer that really matters.
Yeah.
And last, morning person or night owl?
Both, to be honest with you. I don't like, I'm not a big sleep person. I like staying up late and getting up early. I like life. I just like living. And I think, like, always growing up, I was always like, hey, if I'm sleeping, I'm getting worse at baseball. Now I find out like sleep's necessary for recovery and all that shit. But at the time, I'm like, I don't want to sleep. I love my life. I want to be around my friends and family and hang out. And I want to be forever young and all this shit. And I still kind of feel that way. So I'm both. I stay up late and get up early.
Awesome. And I did want to mention, you just came out with this on your Instagram, but you're on Cameo now, and you're going to donate all the money to Bregman Cares, right?
Yeah, so our charity, Bregman Cares, is helps kids with autism and all sorts of kids around the Houston area. But real quick, our plans for like 2022 and 2023, like this next year, we're going to be sending therapists into homes for people who can't afford them. And basically, what happened with my godson is he couldn't really speak. Now he is about as high functioning as you get. Like he is, he's learned to communicate, and now you would not even know that he has autism. Like the therapies, the teachers here in Houston have been unbelievable. The programs that are available to kids that can afford them are great. So we're trying to make it to where every kid, no matter if you can afford it or not, can get help and get the therapies needed to be able to communicate, which is one of the most important things to do in life. That's 2022. 2023, we're hoping to break ground on the school, and it's going to be pretty freaking sick. Hopefully put a lot of kids through that school and help a lot of families and make a big, big impact in the Houston area. So that's like kind of where the funds are going. Those two are the top of the list for us when it comes to what all of our charity donation dollars are going to.
Awesome.
Can you tell us how to donate?
Yeah. So, shortly here in like a week or so, we'll be able to have a, we're going to have a link on our website, BregmanCares.org, and you just tap the link and people can donate and go straight to these kids to help.
Well, by the time this comes out, that'll probably be up and running. So awesome. BregmanCares.org, right?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, man, bless you for the work that you do in the community and all over. And man, if you do another Feed Hugh, let me know. I'd love to help out in any way I can. AlexBregman.com, BregmanCares.org, and BreggyBomb.com. Is that correct?
That's it. That's what we're doing.
All right, man. Well, those are the ways to get a hold of your favorite Houston Astro. And just can't thank you enough for taking the time being with us. We really, really appreciate it. We hope you've at least laughed a couple times, had a good time with us. But
got a blast.
Just thank you. Yeah.
Gotta love being a couple in.
Yeah. There it is, man. There it is. You heard it. Couple in, man. Alex Bregman for Josh Thompson, Bobby Keith Kilgore, and Seth Noseworthy. Y'all take care, and we'll see you soon. Be good.